Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak and Beers.
Brother!
This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Brad. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Can you hear with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast?
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. What's going on, Facebook Live, YouTube, boys and girls of the podcast platforms? Welcome back, Mr. Randall.
Mr. Schiller.
Well, we kind of hinted that we were doing this show last week. We didn't go into great detail why.
Yes. We provided a mystery, I suppose.
Jay's been out playing in the jungle and he got bit. Yeah. So, but we have, we got Aaron Steiger in the house as well. He's been battling Lyme disease for 2 years and, we're going to get some insight from him for sure. But, yeah, important show, guys. You just never know, these little critters, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is probably something we should have done in the spring, but you know, the fact that it's relevant to you now, I think, you know, yeah. Obviously it's a good conversation to have. I know we've had it briefly before when we've had Aaron on and things like that, but
yeah, plus it's hunting season, right? Everybody's going to start rolling in the woods if they're not already, kind of sure. Like I was, you know,
yeah.
So
yeah. Well, and not only that, grass is taller, right? You're dragging your kayaks in a, you know, backwaters or off launches and, you know, just, you know, getting out of the kayak to even just, you know, relieve yourself, so to speak, after a couple cups of coffee or something, like, you just never know. So it's an important subject for sure. But, you got anything?
I was going to say, I feel like, you know, with, you know, Aaron, who's going to come on in a second, or as I like to call him, Spreadsheet Steiger.
He hasn't been called that in a hot minute.
He hasn't, but he has I thought I was doing some research. Like, I mean, I remember the conversation we had last time, but like talking to him, you know, in the, you know, right before the show, and man, he knows like so much more. I mean, he's like, you know, down to the detail. So let's get him in here.
Milford's in the chat, and I was talking about relieving yourself from a couple cups of coffee, and Milford says, or relieve yourself during a podcast, fitting for the guest. Old Ryan had to run out in the middle of a show on
Milford. Hey, Milford.
Oh, man. Funny stuff. Well, let's get the man of the hour in here, Mr. Aaron Steiger. Welcome back, sir.
Guys, how's it going? It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Good to see you as always, man. Like me and Jay were saying, dude, you're looking fresh and clean. You look like you just got out of boot camp and you're ready to get shipped overseas, bro.
We're ready to go. I'm doing good. You know, you alluded that I've been battling this Lyme stuff for a couple of years, and I have been. And that first year of it was the hardest year to kind of figure out how to treat it, what lifestyle changes I need to make in order to thrive and live day to day in a good, positive way. And it took about a year to figure that out. And after I started figuring that out, I started getting healthier in a lot of ways, healthier than I was prior to getting Lyme disease. And because I've made lifestyle changes, whether it's, you know, sleep wise, trying to get more sleep, whether it's diet, whether it's exercise, those are all things that I found that if I do those things wrong, it does not take very long for that, you know, a flare up to happen or anything like that. And, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about that kind of pre-show, but I'm doing good. I really am doing well and just managing symptoms and continuing to fight this fight that has been going on for a couple of years. So yeah,
will it ever go away? Like,
so the integrative specialist, yeah. So for some people, you never can fully eradicate this. It's called like a spirochete bacteria. It's like a corkscrew, and these bacteria, if you don't get rid of them right away, what they can do is they can, like, basically like a screw, would, like, you just drill a screw into a piece of wood. They do that into things like your cartilage, like in your knee. So like when I have attacks, like my right knee, it hurts. Like, and I mean, it hurts. Like, it feels like I tore my ACL, but I know for sure that that's where those babies are kind of digging themselves into. And every now and then they'll kind of emerge and my knee starts hurting real bad and I can feel it. And it goes that way for a week or so. And, you know, knock it down with some antibiotics and some other things. But, yeah. So anyway, those bacteria will thrive and live there indefinitely. My integrative specialist said that this is 2 years ago that I was seeing that eventually your symptoms just kind of, he just said, fade away over time. I don't believe that unless you make big time changes and recognize what works for your own body. And you have to do that because some people get literally crippled from Lyme disease, or their mind gets completely just wiped away from Lyme disease, just brain fog all the time. And when I say completely crippled, I mean like wheelchair ridden from Lyme disease, or some people get Lyme carditis where like it messes with their heart and they have to be on a pacemaker. You know, Courtney Bennett, her mom had that, you know, and her mom had Lyme disease and she got Lyme carditis and she was on a pacemaker and things like that, I believe. And so, you know, she's in Tennessee there, you know, Jay, like you are. And it's definitely present. It's interesting that, so my family doctor, he said that here in Ohio, Lyme disease just wasn't even a thing as of almost 5 years ago. But in the last year, I guess this was last year I talked to him. So it's been the last few years, he's seen just an absolute spike in cases just here in Ohio. So Lyme typically was just in the Northeast. It was in your Rhode Island. It was very big in Rhode Island and Maryland and Maine and Delaware, like all those areas. And it's just slowly moved its way west. And it's right now, you know, Jay, it's becoming more prevalent. Like you guys talked about, you know, you wouldn't think you should have done the show in the spring, but the reality is Jay was kind of saying before that, you know, you had these little poppy seed, like nymph ticks. Well, what happens is in the spring, you'll get all the big ticks on you. And that's what I had when I got them on me. They were very visible, but there was just so many, I missed some of them. Like there's dozens all over everything. Because I'd walk through like a nest of them or something. And
that just creep you out though? Like,
oh my gosh, it freaks me out now.
Everything is like different now.
Oh, it is. Every single thing is different. Like, yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. And so I, but what happens, Jay, is those big ticks in the spring, they have babies, and the fall right now is almost a more dangerous time because those nymphs, you can't see them as easily. Like you might, they get in your hair, and how are you going to see it if you got dark or even light hair? You can't see it. And so those are the ones that typically will transmit Lyme disease, unfortunately, or, you know, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, all these different things that you can get from ticks. And so those nymph ticks are they're the dangerous ones. They're just the size of a little bit bigger than a poppy seed.
Yeah, they're literally that small. I mean, there's no exaggeration when we say that. You know, so you wouldn't even know. I mean, like I was telling Aaron, I thought I had dirt on me. So I'm like picking these little things. I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, what is going on here? I'm like, I'm dirty. Like, you know, and I mean, I pulled probably about, 7 or 8 off me that I know of, you know, and that wasn't counting the other 2 I had on me that were bigger. Actually 3. So, I mean, I had ticks on me. So I guess we'll just go into like where I was. Like, so basically
your story, Jay,
I'm new in Tennessee, right? You know, deer season's coming up. September 24th is opening day. So I go up into the mountains and I'm just going to hang some cameras. I didn't really go that far, like off the road, you know, getting out of the truck. I'm hunting on, like, I guess on, rookie instinct in Tennessee, you know, just to see how this is going to work. But I saw deer and everything. So I'm hanging cameras, you know, I got like 4 out there, walked around a bit just in the grass. I did go into some areas, but I didn't go super deep. And then, I come home and I find a couple ticks on me, like right off the bat. And, one. I find like one adult, I guess, you know, I forget which size, maybe a little bit below an adult. Get that one off me. And then the next day I find all those little seed ticks on me. And I'm pulling probably 7 or 8 that I, like I said, that I know of that I pulled off of me. What was crazy is that it took the second day for me to realize what I was pulling off of me, because I noticed that one didn't come off as easy. And I was like, what's going on here? So I don't have a magnifying glass. So I took my phone and I magnified it and put it right where it was. And it was a freaking tick. And I was like, dude, I've been pulling these things off me. Like there was dirt on me, you know, and whatever. And now I did have like pants on, of course, socks, of course, you know, boots, short sleeve shirt, hat. Cause you know, where I'm from in Illinois, like you can get away with that. Sure. I mean, you'll be able to see one on you. I mean, Brian, we talked about this in Wisconsin. Okay. We're sitting on the ground. You know what I mean? We're like everywhere that you think that ticks would be. I'm not saying they're not there, cause we know they're there, but, it wasn't as prevalent. So I didn't spray down or nothing. I just went in there and ended up finding this. And then, so anyway, back, you know, going back to the story, then I find another one on the back of my leg that I'm sure was there over 2 days. Didn't even know it was there. It was still pretty small. Didn't feel it. But just by chance, you know, and let me just tell you this, these things can get, I mean, this was on my inner thigh. So I didn't even know it was there, but these things can get in places that you wouldn't think they'd get. Because I had one too in another spot that I'm not going to say, but it not cool. You know, I was like, what is going on here? So so then afterwards, like was it a few days down the road, I broke out in all these little bumps on the bottom of my leg. And so like tons of them. But they're just concentrated on the bottom. They've kind of spread like up my leg, but it's like it's they're very sparse and they're just red. They're, they don't look like that. But so from what
that's
I hear,
the picture you sent me.
Yeah. So the picture on YouTube anyway, there's so whoever's listening to the podcast, there's actually a picture of my leg with the bumps on it and stuff.
It almost looks like a bunch of like
chiggers almost.
Like zits, you know? Almost that yeah. I'm like ready yeah. to be popped or something.
Yeah. You know, and like and then right when you showed it to Brad thought it was poison ivy. But sure. it doesn't follow like the same pattern. I guess it's the way it does to him, whatever.
Right.
But I wasn't around any poison ivy. I mean, like that I know of. And if I did, why don't I have it on my face and all that? Because I've been touching my legs like nonstop.
Sure.
And then it looks like chigger bites. But why do I have all the bumps up my leg and also on my chest and on my back? Again, they're more sparse on the upper part of my body, but they were very concentrated and they're still there. At the bottom of my leg, you know, and I think that picture is probably when they're the most pronounced or getting close to it. So they've receded a bit, but it's like, I don't know what this is. I never had this reaction ever, but I do know I had a bunch of ticks on me. So, but the locals say that's what the sea ticks do to you. So, you know, and I mean, the guy down my next door neighbor is a hunter and he's like, oh yeah. He's like, just, you know, he told me what to do. You know, and of course that's very just topical, you know, just like using rubbing alcohol or like the highest amount or concentrate that you can, you know, take a nice shower, you know, nice bath, scrub every part of your body. You know, but yeah, I guess what everybody does around here is, I mean, and I'm finding out again, just being naive in some aspects, people like literally get into their garage and they strip down like almost naked. And then go into their house and, you know, then, you know, do whatever. Of course, they probably inspect themselves before they walk in the house, but they walk in the house, go take a shower, clean up real quick, get different clothes. So, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I don't know what my outcome is. Doctor said to wait to take the blood test, but I got Aaron telling me, no, go get a second opinion so you can get on something so this doesn't set in. So that's where I'm at. And it's a little scary. I don't like it, you know.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911, and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on, and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
But, well, it should be scary, right? Like, you know, it's something you shouldn't necessarily neglect. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that was a conversation you and I had when you first called me and you said, you know, I found this tick on me. And then actually when I was on the phone with you, you're like, I'll call you back. And you hung up the phone.
It's true.
And that's when you found the one on your leg.
Yeah. The inner part of my thigh. Yeah. That yeah. little one. Cause yeah. I was like, I was like, wait a second. I was like, no, dude. I was like, I checked myself, you know, and you know what, that like, when you used to say this, like more of a comical, you know, part of it is, can you imagine asking your wife to like pretty much look at your butthole? You know, because now you don't know where these things are, but you just got bit, but you had to have her pull this thing out because I had no leverage. I couldn't see it. And this thing was buried.
Sure.
You know, and I mean, so, I mean, haha in that part, but it was like, you know, at a crappy cost, you know, potentially.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Like, you know, ticks are prone to go into, you know, dark places, so to speak, you know, like Aaron said, like I've heard many times, like people having them in their hair, Like, you know, for instance, like, you know, we're talking about deer hunting. Like, I've shot a few deer where it's like, you go to field dress it, and it's like you just see them crawling all over that deer in the hide, and you got to kind of pick them off and, you know, get them away from you, obviously, you know. And that's a common deer tick, but that could still carry Lyme disease, you know. Mm-hmm. Along with, you know, like I got the CDC website pulled up too, and it's like, it's not just Lyme disease. Like, there's a whole slew of stuff that these little things can carry. And that's just it too. Like, I remember as a kid, I think we were like getting ready to go to the beach or something, and, you know, I took my shirt off and my buddy's like, dude, you got a tick in your back. And I started freaking out, you know, and I saw it in the mirror, and you know, his mom actually took a needle, heated up the tip, and like poked it right behind the head. And that's supposed to get him to back out. At least that's what they used to say. I don't know if that's still true. I mean, I've done it before on other friends and it's worked, but you know, when you get a tick bite, that's what they do, is they kind of bury your their head under your skin. Right. And they're trying to burrow into your skin. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, Aaron, you might know more about that than I, but
yeah. And you gotta be real careful about taking them out, just because you could leave
the head in there, right?
well, their mouthpieces are what really falls out. And that's where the head, of course, are attached to the head, but you have to be super delicate. Like, that's why you got to pull slow and methodical.
Yeah.
But like, I've heard petroleum jelly is really good to start with, because it suffocates them and then they kind of start backing out. Well, we didn't do that, but I was more in panic mode. You know, it's like, I've never been so, it's weird, the psychological aspect of this, because now I'm like freaked out. Like, you know, again, this is my own fault for not using permethrin, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I just have this different look now at the woods, you know, and I don't, it scares me a little bit, you know. And I, even though you might use like everything, that doesn't guarantee you're not going to get bit still. But like, it's really put a psychological like level of doubt in me now, to where there's like a lot of apprehension about even venturing into the woods, you know, which I hate, you know, because that feeling's kind of winning right now, you know, even though I've been, you know, it's, I got to go out and check those cameras, and we're going to start soon. So now, like, you know, I'm just freaked out, you know. It's
sure.
I really hope I haven't gotten anything, you know, because there's like four different things you can get, you know. So, you know, I can mean, because Lyme disease is the most famous, but there's the alpha gal syndrome, which is basically the one you get from the Lone Star tick, where you have the allergic reaction to red meat. And I've heard it actually extends to pork. There's like a few animals that will affect, and it affects everybody different.
There's a few. So I got the CDC website up, and you know, there's the Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Tularemia.
I haven't even heard of that one.
Acrolichosis. there's a couple osises.
Babesia or babesia? Yes. Babesiosis. Yeah.
Babesiosis. Yeah. Anaplasmosis. Yeah. Eclicosis and tularemia.
And
you know, Lyme disease and the spotted fever.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's deer ticks are the biggest one. And those deer ticks are kind of a broad term, because depending on what region you're in, like here, it's black leg ticks. That's what they call a deer tick. You know, but you also got the American dog tick. That one's the one that carries a few of them.
I don't think you can get Lyme from the dog tick though,
No,
right?
No, okay. It's not. No, that one can actually give you I wish I could say this word. Hooked on Phonics, help me. Jesus, I can't do it. It's so, but Brian, if you put up that word, everyone can see it.
This one right here.
Yeah,
right?
That's the one. I can't say it.
Ehrlichosis?
Is that how you say that? My mouth does not want to do that.
So on these maps, each dot represents a case for that specific one. So this is the ehrlichosis here. So you can see it's kind of prevalent in that southern part of the Midwest, like Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska,
Tennessee,
Kentucky, and then that whole eastern seaboard. And then here, this purple one is for Lyme disease. And you could see like the whole Northeast is just purple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then around like Chicago up to Milwaukee into Madison, that's pretty bad. And then up around Minnesota. The cities, the Twin Cities is pretty bad there too.
It's interesting too, like how bad it is up there. When you think about the climates that exist in the Northeast, and for most ticks, they thrive in high humidity locations.
Right.
So like, you got to think like, why is it that prevalent?
Probably a lot of swamps up that way. I don't know. Water. It's like
there's a lot of woods and stuff, but I mean, it's just weird because the temperature is way colder, you know, with the harsh winters.
How ticks operate. So they'll sit on grass, like long grass is where you're going to get exposed to most of the time. They sit with their little arms up and their little, I don't know what, just their sticky little hands basically. And just, if you go by and you're walking by in long grass, that's when you're going to get it. So, you know, possibly, you know, you got the high humidity stuff down in Florida and this, that, and the other, and you've got, you know, some of the deep South, and I don't know tons about those areas, but maybe people aren't walking around quite as much in open fields and just things that, maybe there's not acres and acres of grass like there is up in Wisconsin and Illinois and Ohio. And I don't know, like maybe is it, I have no idea, but I don't know why ticks would be more relevant in the Northeast.
It's not so much that, it's just how much Lyme disease has spread. You know, again, the harsh winters, like the weather is way different up North than it is here. You know, like you guys are going to be a lot colder before I will here.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder. Appreciate that.
You know, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, it's September. I mean,
right now, though.
Yeah, snow's going to be touching that porch in about like 2.5 months.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty likely. You know, here, not so much. You know, it might
snow a little bit. I hope you get a foot of snow this year.
I don't even care if we do. You know that. The northerner in me will never die. I love snow. But I mean, but you know what though? I mean, there's like an area up in Illinois, Mazonia. There's a bunch of lakes over there. I remember one year I went there with it was in the spring. I went there with my kids. They have all these prairie lands. It's all preserved. They'll mow it. Right. And I mean, it's like standard mowing, probably like 1.5 inches, maybe 2 inches of blades or grass, you know? And I remember one time we walked in the woods. This is when they were small. I was literally watching deer ticks jump on our feet. Like, it was so crazy that we were walking in cut grass. And it was like, it was bad. And we got there and I stopped and I just looked at the boys and I was like, hey, I was like, we're going to run back to the truck. I was like, but we're going to like sprint. And they were like, really? Why? I'm like, I'll talk to you when we get to the car or the
just
truck.
Go.
I was like, just run. So we sprinted back to the truck. I mean, sounds crazy, right? We got back to the truck. I had them take off all their clothes except for their underwear, stripping them down. I pulled off between the three of us like 19 ticks. That was a short walk. We were there like 10 minutes, you know, and these were full grown, you know, these were deer ticks to a T, and we got them all off. I mean, I found they had Velcro shoes. These little things got in between the Velcro.
Oh yeah.
And they climbed underneath the tongue in the little areas. Like I had to like take every, like turn everything inside out. You know, and none of us got bit, 'cause obviously we caught it really quick. And then, so then I see my buddy Keith, like come crawling out of the grass. I didn't even know he was there, you know? And he's like, "Hey man," he's like, "Hey Jay." And I'm like, "What's up, dude?" I was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm fishing." He's like, "I'm pond hopping." I'm like, "Dude, there are ticks out here like crazy, you know?" And then he goes, "Oh," he's like, "There's one on the back of your seat right now." Like literally there was one crawling up the back of the seat. So we still didn't get one, you know what I mean? But it was like crazy, you know? And the kids, what that did to them, did a psychological, you know, it scared them. Like psychologically, they were scared of ticks for a long time.
Sure.
I mean, they didn't like want to screw with grass, you know, at all. You know,
well, you brought up a point I know we wanted to hit on tonight. You know, we talked about, you know, folks changing clothes and stuff, either out in the field at the boat ramp or something, or at a river takeout or whatever. But like, that's the thing too, right? Is you want to check, because you don't want those things to get in your truck. Because I've seen it before, yeah, where, you know, you get in, you know, one's on your shirt or something, then it's crawling around on your seat, and you come back into your truck the next day or the day after, and next thing you know, you find a tick crawling around on you. So that's something to be conscious of, and always check that you're not, you know, bringing those things into your vehicle or your house. Because like you had that instance, Jay, right, where it, you know, you brought some into the house, you thought, and
yeah, you know, they did some research on it too, like as far as that went. And as soon as I like even like, well, whatever, as soon as I knew it, I stripped the bed, I took a bunch of the clothes. I mean, I laid my pants on other clothes. I'm a total dope. So then I grabbed all that stuff, you know, took it down, washed it. Also the sleeping bag. I took the sleeping bag out of the other room and got rid of that, or not, well, washed it. But I learned that ticks can really only live, I mean, obviously they live for a little bit, right? But they'll dry out if they don't have a host, and especially if they're not in a humid environment. And when we talk about humidity, they thrive in like 85%, 90% humidity. But if they're in a house and air conditioned, now I know there's places that are infested with ticks. So I'm not saying this is like, you know, a fact for everywhere in the country.
Sure.
But in most cases with air conditioning, it's too dry in the house. There's not enough humidity. They won't thrive. And again, without a host, which is, you know, to drink blood, they can't live. Now, there are instances that I've read about that there are houses that are like infested with ticks, but that has to do from other stuff. There are other reasons for that. I don't have that kind of house. Like this, you know, this is a decent house. You've been here, Brian. It's like this would not be a kind of house that would be infested with ticks, you know. But yes, I brought them in the house and I thought about that, but I did about all I could do. And we got two cats here. So, and I was checking the cats, you know, and I, you know, it's funny, and we'll talk about it now. My dad gave me permethrin a long time ago because he was an amateur photographer. He'd always go in the woods down there in Des Plaines, Illinois, down there in Wilmington, Illinois, by the Des Plaines conservation area. The deer tick population is horrible. And so he already knew that. So I got these two brand new ones in plastic. I had them packed away, so I don't know where they are. Didn't even think about it. The minute I found out about any of this stuff, I went to Walmart, spent like $60 on Sawyer products. There's a free plug for them, you know, and got like a ton of permethrin. I sprayed the beds. I sprayed around the floor, you know, in the carpet and stuff, just in case, you know, all my shoes, my boots, my seat in my truck are actually anything that had fabric that would come in contact with, you know, with our skin. You know, pants, jackets, you know, I'm not even done yet. Like I'm going ham on everything with permethrin. except your underwear and stuff. Don't do that. That's bad. But, in permethrin, if anybody knows, like, this is a very, It's funny because I still think I'm such a dope because we both have known about this for years and years and years. It pretty much kills ticks on like within a minute or two of them being exposed to it and other insects. But, you know, and actually the Hunting Public has a really good video on it where they go into the woods not really even the woods. I think it was like on property. It wasn't even deep.
Yeah, he was on. They were just at their, I think one of their houses or something, and they sprayed down like a painter's white coverall suit with it. And the reason why they did that is because it was white, and they went out in the woods and found some ticks and let them crawl onto that suit to show. Yep. And, you know, because that suit was white, it made the ticks show up much more prevalent in the camera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And side note, too, my phone's pretty loud. Side note is that, like, so permethrin, I learned that there's kind of a hack for it where you can go buy the pure, the pure amount of it from Tractor Supply or something, and then you can make your own at home. You don't have to keep going to. So Mike Ernst actually told me that. So he mixes his own. He's been doing it for years, and he has alpha gal, I guess. So he said that kick every time he gets a tick bite, it kicks up again, like pretty hard. So for him, I didn't know what the variation for him is, like how bad it is, because again, it can be horrible for some people, and it can be very mild, and it's not. All meat, like it. So again, red meat, like beef, but not to deer. What is it? Pork. And there was something else, but again, it's different for everybody else. But yeah, anyway, he was telling me that he mixes his own. He saves a lot of money doing it. So I might go that route, start doing that. So I just always have it on hand instead of having to, you know, I mean, granted, I know Aaron's heard about this stuff. I mean, everybody raves about Sawyer products for permethrin. It's like some of the best stuff out there.
Yeah, I picked some up like shortly after we talked because I'm like, man, I need to just be smart and not be put in the position that you two have been put in, you know, and just do that preventative, quote unquote, maintenance, so to speak, you know, to help protect me when I'm out in the woods, you know, especially early season, you know, like I don't worry about it as much when it's, you know, end in November, beginning of December, and the temps are in like the 30s, you know what I mean? But, you know, right now, I mean, like, is it this weekend? No, it's the following weekend. Deer season opens up in Wisconsin, you know?
Oh,
October 1st, it opens up in Illinois. And it seems like the past couple of years, like, it's been super hot, humid beginning of October. Here in the Midwest the past few years, it's just been super warm. And then it's like all of a sudden we just go straight from summer to winter, you know, sometime in the end of October. But
I sit there and I just cringe now about all the places that we have just sat.
Sure.
And man, just gotten away with it. You know, I mean, I've had ticks on me before, I don't know what, if I even have anything, obviously I have some kind of reaction going on, but
sure.
But I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Like all the places that we have just plopped down, you know, and nothing, you know, so it's a little bit of, I guess, naiveness and arrogance, you know?
Sure.
You're just like, what happened to me?
Well, I dropped in the comments that link to the Hunting Public's video with the permethrin. Cool. Yeah. And those of you listening on the podcast platforms, will drop it in the show notes. You guys can go check that out. It's a quick, I think, what is it? I got it pulled up here.
Yeah, those guys are, they're, I mean, if you've never heard of these guys.
It's a 10-minute video. Yeah. So
if you've never heard of these guys, if you're a hunter, you know, watch them.
Even fishermen. Yeah.
Yeah, true. I mean, they do a lot of stuff, and they're we've never met them. They seem like amazing guys.
Zach was one of my students, actually. He was one of my.
What?
Yeah, he's Zach Barenball. Yeah.
Hook it up, Aaron.
Yeah, he was one of my students. I mean,
yeah, I would love to talk really to well. Him and some of the guys.
He's a great kid.
Well, we're going to have to talk more, after the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, but they put out a lot of good content, a lot of informative stuff. And Tix, sure. They've done two, I think, in the back-to-back years. One more about the Tix, and then they touched on it this year again, and then showed that video that Brian's talking about.
Yeah. So let's Aaron, like, why don't you run us through a timeline, like when you got bit to when you started having symptoms to,
mm-hmm.
oh crap, yeah. now I have Lyme disease, and then like what you've kind of done to remedy that? Because you were, and you had mentioned, you know, you'll have these little spouts or flare ups. And kind of what you're doing to manage it and things like that.
Yeah. So the first thing I think everybody should know is that it's different for everybody. So some people might get bit by a tick, and then they might have something that maybe compromises their immune system for one reason or another. They might get overly stressed, and then that allows the bacteria that's been in their body from those ticks, from that tick bite and the Lyme, to actually then manifest itself. So it could be 2 years down the road or 10 years down the road for some people. But mine was pretty acute right away. So I remember I got bit. I was fishing like a local area, and I was dragging my kayak through some deep grass and things like that. And I just caught like a huge, like a 22 and a half inch largemouth. For around here is a great largemouth. And I remember posting on Facebook, it was just when the pandemic started. And so everybody's off work, and I was like, you know, off work, and no one knew what was going on. But so I went fishing, and like after I was done with online school or whatever that day, and got ticks all over me. I took my kids, and luckily somehow they didn't have anything. They got their blood tested and stuff, and luckily they didn't. But so that was like I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday. And I mean, by Friday, I was starting to see blotches and spots. I mean, it was quick. Like, and I called the doctor. I just remember it was before the weekend, and I was like, hey, you know, like, you know, I know this sounds kind of silly, but like, you know, I think I probably got bit by a tick, and I'm starting to have a few symptoms here and there. And they were like, wait, what? And immediately they said, okay, let's get you on 10 days of this antibiotic called doxycycline that is typically used for Lyme disease. Well, that didn't do anything for me. Like it literally didn't do anything. Cause for whatever reason, I'm on a different antibiotic now that actually does work for me, but that doxycycline for me didn't work. And so, 5 or 6 days later, it was just the beginning of that next week, I called back immediately on Monday, and I was like, look, nothing's changed over the weekend, and my vision's getting bad. So they sent me, I went over to my optometrist, and she said, okay, like, here's the thing. That oral antibiotic's not going to do anything for you because it's crossed your blood-brain barrier. And so what's happening, quite literally, she looked at my eyes, and my optic nerve was swollen already. And she's like, those things have made their home in the back of your eyes, basically. And so she said the only way to get rid of this stuff is to go get a PICC line and have IV antibiotics for however long an integrated specialist says is appropriate. So I go and see an integrated specialist like immediately after that, like the next day. So this is all within like a week basically. And then I'm up in the hospital getting like a little PICC line. And I had to have this like thing hanging out of my arm for 30 days and carrying around like a saline bag, but it's full of antibiotic and, not full of antibiotic, but there's a little bit of antibiotic in that saline, and, you know, doing that a couple times a day for 30 days. And it was insane. I mean, I still have the little thing right there is where that PICC line was. And, you know, that was 30 bad days, because I mean, I was, I mean, I was just completely dizzy. Like, I was having chills all the time. I mean, like, my joints hurt. Like, I had terrible headaches. Like, they just totally tore me up. Like, that Lyme just tore me up so fast. So then after that 30 days, they put me on some steroid, to try to like get the inflammation down, 'cause there's still inflammation there. So they put me on some steroid. It was like just prednisone, pretty standard steroid. And, then that didn't really do a whole lot either. And I kept bouncing around. I went and saw like ophthalmologist at Ohio State and just all these different places. I mean, it was a whole saga for the entire summer. 'Cause this was like right at the beginning of June when this happened, right at the end of May, beginning of June when all this was taking place. And so this whole summer I was just on all these different antibiotics and different types of antibiotics. And I just remember before I went like back to school, I was like, I was not well. Like that August, I still was not well yet. And I still went back to school and I was like, I can't let this like mess with me. And so, I mean, I did it still it wasn't great for another probably 6 months or so. And then I figured out, I found, I don't know if I can share my screen. There's a little thing that says share.
Be able to share something there.
Okay. Let me see if I can. Okay, I'm going to share my screen real quick.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, MidwayUSA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Okay. Yeah, we'll share this one.
He's pulling up the spreadsheet, folks.
Yeah, yeah, I was just going to say.
Can you guys see my screen now? Or
here, let me.
Here we go.
Whoa. Well, you got eight screens in a.
There.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Okay. There you go.
All right. So I found there's a guy down the street. Actually, he goes to my church, and he. said he's like, oh yeah, I had Lyme 10 years ago, and he actually got laid off from his job because he couldn't do his job anymore. He's like, check out this Unlocking Lyme from Bill Rawls, and it's all about Lyme disease. I guess this doctor basically had Lyme disease, and it messed him up for like 10 years. And what happened was he basically made it his life mission to like figure out how to solve like chronic Lyme disease, because once you get past that first like 10 to 15 days, like that's that critical period of time. That's what we're talking about, Jay, like to like knock it out before it manifests itself and just finds a house in your body, basically. So like he basically figured out like, herbal solutions paired with like an antibiotic solution is such a good 1-2 combination. And so what he basically said is these spirochet bacteria, like I said, they kind of drill in to your like cartilage and any non-vascular area that they can. I mean, they love feeding on like your brain and your muscles and like all the good juicy parts of you and your blood and everything else, but they live when they're not doing that in the non-vascular parts. And so what happens is this herbal treatment, it's called the Restore Kit, and I'm not trying to sell this, I don't care if anybody gets it or not, but there's like four different things that this thing basically does, and there's like 100 different types of herbs that are within all of the different or I guess, all right, 50 different herbs is what it says within this different plan. And so what I do when I was, what I started doing like that fall slash winter was you take three of each of these in the morning and you take three again in the evening. So I was taking like, it was like 24 pills or something like that a day. Jesus. Now I still take 12. I still take 12 of these a day, plus some other different herbal things as well, along with antibiotics. And this is 2 years later, but 100%, like I feel, I mean, I was telling you guys, like, just it's changing my lifestyle a little bit, trying to get more sleep. Even with kids, like, you know, still trying to go to bed earlier than I used to go to bed, eating, trying to eat better, and then exercising. Like I get up every day and I exercise for a half hour. Like I make myself get up before I go to work and exercise. And what all that does, like the exercise keeps my blood flowing. It doesn't let those little spirochete bacteria just kind of hunker down like in my knees or my joints or whatever. Like it keeps it moving, and those herbs kind of flush those things out and don't let them get comfortable. And then if I do get a flare up, then I take the antibiotic and it keeps me sharp. Because if I don't, if I get stagnant, I feel, because the Lyme's really affected like my eyes, my ears, like my head, my brain, like everything. Like I was getting really bad brain fog, couldn't remember things. Like it was even having trouble talking sometimes, like a lot of head pressure. It really affected that, but it also affected my joints. And so if I can regulate all of those things, and it sounds like it's a chore, but honestly, this is kind of what Dr. Rawls kind of talks about. You need to modify your life if you want to keep your wellness. Like if you want to live a good life, what you really need to do, and I'm going to go back to, done with that. Well, that's kind of weird. How do I go back to that?
It's like looking in a mirror, like from a mirror.
I know. There we go. It's like, all right, there we go. Okay, thanks, Brian. But anyway, so what Dr. Rawls basically just talks about is like you need to modify your lifestyle, and it's one of those things like the guy that has the heart attack, like you don't really have a choice. Like if you don't modify your lifestyle, like your life's you might die. Well, you might not die from Lyme disease, but you will not thrive and live. That's for darn sure. And so I've made some changes specifically in the last year. Like, I mean, I've gained 30 pounds of muscle, like just literally 30 pounds of muscle and just, weight in general. And, it's because I've changed a lot of things about the way I lived. And I think if I would have been doing stuff like this prior, I might not have, you know, maybe my immune system would have been better just to fight this thing off in the first place. So, you know, not everybody that gets bit by ticks is, the good thing is if your immune system and if your body can kick it, then you're not going to get affected. And maybe, you know, Jay, you got bit and you're having a reaction, but maybe that's all it'll be, hopefully, like, yeah. You know, and hopefully that's where it stops for you, but you never know. Maybe it's not. And that's where, why, in my opinion, for whatever it's worth, why not go get a doctor that'll get you on doxycycline right now and then take the blood test still in 8 more days. And by then, hopefully the blood test comes up negative and you took some doxycycline and you're no worse for it. You know what I mean? And that's even what Dr. Rawls kind of says is like, you start off the acute phase and you had an acute reaction with antibiotic. But then that's when that other restore kit came in, and like it helps just continually get that cleaned out and keep your body a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, I wish I had called you before. I
told you know, to call him.
I was just kind of, I don't remember hearing that ever. But yeah, no, I mean, it, like, you know what I mean? I no excuse. It's just, You just go along thinking like, oh, it'll never happen to me. And you're like, you know, and then it's, you know, and then it happens. Right. And then, like I said, you know, a few days later, I get these bumps. But the thing that like that kind of put me at ease was the neighbor, the doctor, you know, even the nurse. She was like, she talked about having seed ticks on her. That was taking a walk around where she works. Yeah. You know, she went through a nest, but she was, but they're all saying, yeah, like it's common for people to get those bumps, you know? So nobody seemed to seems alarmed, you know? And I can't say that I've had like any other kind of side effect from this, except the psychological side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, cause it's now, I mean, I'm truly freaked out about turkey season because, sure. cause you sit on at the base of a tree. Like that's what you do.
Well, it doesn't matter, right? Like you could be mowing your lawn. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it doesn't matter. Like I understand like what you're saying, like being in the woods and you're walking through that tall grass and things like that. And like, that's when you're more likely to, but I mean, you could get it as easy as walking out in your backyard, you know?
Well, I told you, remember, I went to the back of my fence line, which it's not like I'm walking through grass, and I come back and I'm like, oh, I got a tick on me. I'm like, what is going on? And I remember my neighbor too. Now he's an older dude. He's retired. And he goes, and he's like, you always walk around on those slides? Cause we usually wear slides out here, you know, no socks. And he's like, do you notice how you never see me in those? I was like, point taken. You know, he was just he's like, I don't walk around like that, dude. He's like, you're nuts, sure. You know? But that's the thing. I've been walking around like that so long out here. Not that I was doing that when I was hanging cameras, but I mean, it was, you know, now it really gets you thinking about just your everyday attire. Again, kind of to what Aaron's talking about, but on the side of, you know, it's a life change.
Sure.
But now you have to think about your clothes,
the preventive aspect.
Yeah, because you're also going to spray your, not permethrin, but you're going to spray yourself with other tick stuff.
Sure.
So that way, you know, your skin is, you know, protected. You know, but I mean, you got to really take it seriously because, I mean, I really hope there's nothing going on. I hope it's just a little reaction to like the new world out here. And maybe that's a part of it too, right? Maybe, Brian, me and you have been bit by ticks, you know, during our hunting excursions and we didn't have a reaction.
Yeah, we didn't have the reaction.
Like, but down here, your body's probably not acclimated. You know, I mean, you know, northerner coming down to the south, things are a little different here. I don't know if that's part of it, but you know, again, just don't be naive and don't be arrogant. These things are everywhere, you know, and I know you can have a good time. You don't gotta be scared. If you take the time to, you know, be preventative and, you know, be responsible and strip down in your garage before you go in your house, you know, and like, you know what, that brings me to another thing, you know, like Brian, when he hunts, he has a crate that he just dumps all his clothes into.
Sure.
Like, you know, he puts it on, you know, I mean, not that nothing can get inside, but at least from that standpoint, it gets, you know, whatever tick is going to be in there is probably going to die by the next time he goes hunting.
Yeah. I mean, I typically get dressed at my truck before I go into the woods and then, you know, change again at the truck coming out of the woods. And, you know, part of that routine was, you know, going back to, you know, the whole scent control and things like that. You know, I didn't want to get in my stinky truck and, you know, obviously I'm a smoker and, you know, I didn't want that getting on my clothes. So I would change and keep my clothes in that bin. But the second part to that is that tick aspect, like you said, you know, and, you know, typically, you know, I'm basically getting down to my boxers and a t-shirt on the side of the road or parking lot. So, you know, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to find those things either right on your arms or right on your legs. So I do a quick scan as I'm changing, you know, and throwing my clothes in the bin. But you're right. Like, you know, I've never thought about it from that aspect that more than likely if there is one on my clothes, you know, give it, you know, I'm going back out the next morning. More than likely that thing's, you know, dead, hopefully. But
yeah. And I want to say they're like dryer sheet looking things. I think you can put into a crate with clothes and it's supposed to be able to kill ticks. There's some preventative things for crates, you know, with your clothes. So that way, if you are pulling like a, you know, the what if you're doing a morning hunt and an evening hunt? I don't know how fast it would kill them, but at least it would definitely make their life a living hell in that crate.
Well, and that's where where permethrin comes into play, right? Mm-hmm. If you got your clothes treated properly, it typically lasts five washes or whatever it is. And, you know, if you're doing that right, then, you know,
yep,
theoretically, you know, everything should be extinct by the time you go back out in the afternoon.
Yeah. So there's even some clothing companies that infuse it into their clothes. I mean, not that you wouldn't have to reapply, but it's infused. So right off the bat, you can go out in the woods and you've got protection.
Yeah, I would still spray the clothes down with permethrin just to be safe. Yep. But yeah, I know there's like some insect repellent clothing where they impregnate the thread and stuff with certain things. But
yeah,
I just wanted to throw out there. I threw in the chat and I got it to go in the show notes as well, that the Vital Plan vitamins that Aaron mentioned. That he's taken. So if somebody you know is kind of having similar flare-ups like Aaron is, like, let whoever know about this stuff. The link's right in there. It goes straight to the store there. We're not associated with them or anything of that nature, but, you know, could possibly help somebody out for sure.
So Aaron, you're saying I should buy that stuff?
You should. Like, absolutely. Like, even if it's just for 1 month, I would get on a cycle of it.
I'm totally freaked out.
It's it'll give you if anything psychological ease until your doctor gets on board, unless you find a doctor that'll get you on board quicker with some antibiotics. But
I think it makes total
sense to do that.
I'm gonna call the doctor's office tomorrow and be like, I want you to put me on something like right now. Yeah, and I'm not waiting for a blood test. You know, because everyone's like, just wait for the blood test. I mean, now you're, I didn't know.
Friday tomorrow. That's the other problem. I know. Like, you can like do it early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like Aaron said, like taking some antibiotics isn't going to hurt you. You know,
it's not going to do anything to you. Like,
I just don't know why
antibiotics have their, like every other week, it seems like.
I just don't know why they're so, like, you know what he gave me? Actually, he gave me like this topical steroid cream for my ankles. For the bumps.
That's not going to do jack against what is going on inside your body if something is. It is important to note, though, like, not every tick carries these diseases either. So, like, even if you get bit by a tick, there's still a great chance you're not getting anything.
Do you know what that number is?
What is
that? That number is 10%
that you get
from Lyme disease.
Okay, from Lyme. So, okay.
From Lyme. It's
so, 90%, you're not going to have it. But like from Lyme, but you could have one of the other four.
Opposite.
Oh, 90% you will get
90% of ticks, of deer ticks, carry Lyme disease.
Oh, that's just in Tennessee, though, right?
No, that's the Northeast, everywhere. Like, it's prevalent enough where 90% of the deer ticks carry. So, you have a 10% chance not to get it.
Oh, geez.
Like, so
you got to get on antibiotics, dude.
Yeah.
If you had how many bites, you've got to get on antibiotics because statistically speaking,
I know
you have like a 2% chance of not having it, right? Like if you got bit four times or whatever you said.
Yeah, one, two.
So wait.
Yeah, it had to be like four or five times.
Then you
so
have
I
like
think I'm out.
Like
I'm you, zero.
You've got to get on antibiotics.
Yeah.
Right.
Agreed. Yeah. You know, the thing is like again, just not being. I don't want to say naive to it, right? Like at this part, but you're just trusting like the system to do something for you,
right?
And so it doesn't seem like it's happening
for me, dude. Like they didn't. The doctors literally didn't know what to do after the first month. They're like, luckily they did put me on antibiotics to get it acutely, like to take the edge off. If they didn't do that, it would have been really bad. But after the PICC line was done, like no one knew. They're like just. We don't know.
Yeah.
Like literally, the doctors looking at me like, we have no idea.
They're like, here's some orange juice.
Yeah.
So I gotta
take it in your own hands.
I gotta debunk what Jay's saying. So I'm pulling up a few things.
I read it.
This is Hartford Healthcare in Connecticut. They said in 2019, testing 3,517 black-legged deer ticks, 35.7% carried Lyme disease.
Dude, I swear I read that. And it was a looked like a good publication. I can't
John Hopkins says, where did it go?
Lyme disease. Dude, you know the internet's forever, right?
Ticks prefer to live in wooded areas, low-growing grasslands, and yards. Not all ticks carry the Lyme disease bacteria. Depending on the location, anywhere from less than 1% to more than 50% of the deer ticks are infected with it.
When was that thing from you're talking about?
This is on John Hopkins Medicine.
Yeah, but from what date?
This is printed.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Did you say
2019? I swear.
The one before was 2019. This, I think, is 2020. But it seems like it's dependent on the area, right?
Yeah,
another NPR. I don't trust them, so I'm not going to read that.
Yeah, there's a little bit here.
So here you go. This is Minnesota Department of Health says, on average, about one in three adult black-legged ticks and one in five black-legged tick nymphs are infected with Lyme disease. So that's 33%.
Right. I found your Hartford one.
You got bit four times, Jay. That statistically is more likely.
Either way, sorry for the bad info, guys. I swear I read that, but
I wasn't trying to prove you wrong. I was just
whatever. Internet's forever. Thanks. No one's going to believe me ever again.
It just sounded like too much. But like that one study said, like it could be over 50% in certain areas. So, I mean, in Tennessee and, you know, looking at those maps that I pulled up earlier, like if you're up in like Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, like, I'm sorry, you guys
don't go outside. Don't go outside.
Pennsylvania, like Virginia, like all that. Like, stay in your homes.
Yeah. Like, just put like, you know, Bubble Boy, just put it on one of those suits. And go out.
Right. But it's just one of those things, man. You got to be preventive. You got to be cautious and just be aware of what's going on and what can potentially, you know, harm you. It's such a small little thing can really do some damage. Obviously Aaron knows that firsthand, man, and thankfully you're, you know, on the up and up. I know when we first talked to you and you first got it, and I mean, you, like you said, you were in a pretty bad spot, dude, and it seemed like you were kind of miserable. No offense, but
oh dude, I was freaking miserable.
Yeah, I'm terrible. Sure
I'm I don't sure. remember, like my wife was showing me a picture like yesterday of 2 years ago when like our three-year-old was she's like, I know you don't remember this, but like this is a pretty cool day. I was like, I have no idea what you're even talking about. Like, I don't remember anything about it. And that's unfortunate. Like, it literally took a good year of my life of just quality. And luckily in the last year, I'm, like I said, I'm rebounding good. And I hope in the next year it's even better and just keeps getting better. But for that year, man, it sucks. And a lot of people have it longer than that because maybe they don't have the right resources or the right support or the right knowledge or just body react differently or something, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Or it's like, I mean, it can kill you too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, if it goes, you know, unchecked and hits the heart, hits the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely can. And I mean, I still have problems with, like I said, like with my, like, brain fog and things like that, but like, you know, I'm doing what I can to like mitigate as much as I can, and you know, I live with it, just the feeling of it on a daily basis, and it's messed up my equilibrium and things like that a little bit, but I'm doing better than I was a year ago, so
yep.
You know,
thank God,
you, man. Like, screw you.
Aaron's over here giving you the middle finger, Lyme disease. Take that. No, it's good. It seems like you found something that's helping balance you out and continually to, you know, help you live a normal life, dude, which is great, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to act like you got cancer, bro, but, you know, it's...
No, I mean...
It is a serious thing. It messed with you quite a bit, and it seems like it's the regiment you're on with that vital plan and the antibiotics has definitely made dramatic strides for you, for sure.
And I know, like, Jeff Little, and I talked with him about it, like, his doctors will get him on, like, cycles of antibiotics. You know what I mean? Like, he'll get on, like, three different antibiotics at once to fight, like, if they're resistant to one, then another one will kind of, like, nail them or whatever.
And sure.
For, like, a month or two sometimes with, like just three different antibiotics at once to keep him regulated. And so everybody's different. You know what I mean? So every single person who encounters this is different. So like right now I'm on something called ceftriaxone and that's a good one for me. It doesn't mess with my stomach at all. Like it, you know, cause too long of antibiotic use can hurt you over time, but like when used in moderation, it's just like anything. It's not gonna,
sure.
You know, if doctors are prescribing it to you, like on that regular basis, like there's a rift, I guess, in practitioners, just for you guys' information too. Like some practitioners will not prescribe, and a lot of them won't prescribe long-term antibiotics because it can hurt you. And if people abuse it or anything like that. And so they're very hesitant to like take that step to do that. And so Jay, you might be running into one of those types of doctors. And a lot of times the they call them Lyme literate doctors. Mm-hmm. They will absolutely prescribe you the antibiotics because they're trained in specifically Lyme disease. And so like, you might have to find a doctor that's they're called Lyme literate, and they'll take care of you versus the guy who just says, "Oh, just rub some ointment on it." Like that's not how you treat this.
Yeah.
That's not it. So it, like you said, cancer, Brian, it's literally the equivalent. I mean, not literally the equivalent, but like
sure.
It's the equivalent of saying, "Hey, just rub, take some Zyrtec for your lymphoma." Like, it's like, what? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not funny, but that's how ridiculous it sounds though.
Sure.
When a doctor is blowing, you know, just blowing smoke to Jay, like, "Oh yeah. Like just use some ointment." Like,
yeah,
if it was you, like that's when I ask the doctors this all the time that were treating me, like, if it was you, what would you do right now?
Yeah.
And like, what would you do if you had this? And that's like, that kind of gets to the core of it. And if they still kind of give you crap, just move on. Like they work for you. That's what you have to learn with doctors, lawyers, like accountants, tax professionals, anybody. Like if they don't treat you the way you need to be treated, then move on. Like,
yeah.
That's bull crap.
From Uncle Steiger.
I'm gonna give him an ultimatum tomorrow and see what they say.
Yeah. No, you have to.
Either you give me antibiotics or I'm coming to your office.
It's your life.
Yeah, man. I don't know if I'd say that. But.
It's your life. It's your life. Like, and I'm telling you, I got a year of mine taken away. Yeah. So don't let it happen to you. Like you've gotta advocate for yourself because you can't assume doctors, nurses, your next door neighbors, whoever will.
Amen to that. Well, gentlemen, I think this has been pretty damn informative. We'll give Aaron some final thoughts here, and then we'll move up to Jay, and then I'll close this out.
All right. Well, it's good being here again, you guys. And, you know, I don't get out fishing as much as I used to, but you know, it's still in my heart.
But when I do, smash them.
Oh, yeah, right. When I do, I get skunked.
Well, you've been fishing that Fishers of Men series over in Ohio, right?
Yeah. Yep, I've been doing that. It's just at Kaiser Lake. It's just a lake that's half hour or 40 minutes from me. And there's just a group of 10 or 11 guys that go out and do it. I saw Tyler Daniels in the chat say something. He runs that. Cool. And he's a great dude. I've met some good guys doing that, but that's all I can afford to do. It's not because, you know, I'm not healthy enough, plenty healthy enough right now. It's just I have kids and responsibilities that that supersede me going and traveling across Ohio or the nation and doing stuff, which is totally fine. Like I'm loving what I'm doing with my kids, and we're actually going camping this weekend. Nice. Taking them to Alum Creek and taking them out on the canoe, and then we're going to Dave and Buster's, and they don't know yet. So I'm
all 20 of them,
and all 20. We're taking the school bus, so
that's why I work at the school, so I get a school bus.
Yeah, I get the discounted rate. Yeah,
yeah, there you go. I get to lease it out.
I got my CDL. But no, it's good. And, you know, to that point, like, you know, we're going to be careful. We're going to spray ourselves down this weekend. But, you know, I remember when I first got Lyme, I was like, I'm never kayak fishing again. Like, I'm never doing this again. Like, I'm going to stop this. I can't be going outdoors. And I remember that psychological effect, like you were talking about, Jay. And then I just was like, okay, as long as I take precautions, as long as I do this the right way, I can still enjoy an outdoor lifestyle. And so it's taken a little bit, but you know, I'm back doing what I love to do again because of, you know, having talks with people who do know what they're talking about and researching and getting myself taken care of how I need to get taken care of. And so, don't let anything take away your love for the outdoors, even Lyme disease, even wherever you're at. Like I listen to some podcasts about like hunting and stuff too. Like even like apex predators, if you're in grizzly country, like you have just as much of a right to be outside as any other living thing on this earth. So don't feel like you need to be hesitant of it. Just take the right precautions. Now, you know, to check and do this, that, or the other, and keep doing what you love to do.
Amen. Mr. Randall.
Ditto.
Bumpy legs.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we all talked about it. Just, you know, take it seriously, I guess. You know, it's like you may have been dodging bullets, you know, for as long as you can remember. But, I mean, it happens, you know. So it's prevalent, you know. It's more, you know, you have more of a chance of getting it than not. So why play with that?
Well, and the biggest thing I want to add to that is just get in the routine of checking yourself every time you come home, you know, from the woods, mowing the lawn, you know, whatever it may be, before you get in the shower. You know, most of us get in the shower after, you know, trekking through the woods or mowing the lawn, whatever, just spin around in front of the mirror, as weird as it sounds, and just double check your body, make sure you don't have anything crawling around and, you know, stuff like that, man, because that's one little bite, man, can obviously make you lose a year of your life struggling, you know, like Aaron had talked about, you know. So, and, you know, I'd hate to see anybody go through that. I mean, we've seen Aaron go through it, and it's, I mean, I'm glad you're back on the up and up, dude, and I don't wish that upon anybody. So
thanks. Yeah.
But, yeah, guys, gals, I'll drop those links in the chat, all that stuff we had talked about, the vital plan, the tick video for spraying down permethrin and all that good stuff that we talked about during the show. So go check that stuff out. Be safe, be careful, just do your due diligence and, you know, make sure, you're not going to deal with, anything long-term. And, you know, like Aaron said, you know, you find a bite, go to a doctor, get on something right away, and make sure you're not, you know, waiting, you know, because the longer you wait, the worse it's going to be.
And I will say this too, as a final note, that there's this, you know, they talk about the bullseye. Not everybody gets that.
I didn't get that.
That's important. I don't know how we didn't talk about that. So yeah, don't trust like, oh, I got the bullseye, I should be good. It could be anything, you know, or it could be nothing, right? I mean, as far as a skin lesion or mark or whatever. So, you know, get it checked. It's all you can do, especially if you don't know how long that tick's been on you. Cause you can within 20, I mean, depending on the situation, but standard say 24 to 36 hours.
Sure.
You know, you could contact it. Sounds like Aaron's situation was a lot sooner, but
your blood work, even Jay, when it comes back, it might come up negative and you can still have it. So like even your blood work, that's why like them like putting all the stock in the blood work, that's not even
it's 2 to 4 weeks for the antibodies to show up in your blood.
Yeah, and not everybody even has antibody. Like depending on your immune system, you might not even create that many antibodies to get detected. So like that's a moot point, according to a lot of the doctors that I had talked to anyway. And so they were all completely convinced, even though I had just trace antibodies in my blood, like trace antibodies by the time they actually got my blood work back a couple weeks after I was on an antibiotic. They're like, you absolutely, like, there's no doubt about it. You have this. You didn't have the bullseye. Your blood work came back essentially negative.
Yeah.
You still have, you have Lyme disease.
Sure.
So like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's, yeah. So like, it, don't go by just what the book says.
Yeah. WebMD isn't going to be able to diagnose you this time.
No. No. All right, guys, gals, we'll see you next week. We're here every Thursday night, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, 5 o'clock out on the West Coast. Till next time, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome!
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Awesome.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.